James Breslow on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome, everybody, to the James Breslow program. I am James Breslow, and it is a wonderful day to have a live radio show. I don't know if the rest of the world could feel the earth moving under our feet here in America, but we got a major earthquake this morning with the Supreme Court's ruling on Dobbs v. Jackson overturning the 50-year precedent of Roe v. Wade. I'll be devoting my take on the news in each of our three-hour segments today to that decision because it is extremely monumental. We will have a great guest on this hour, however, an old friend of mine from my Hidden Truth show, Mitchell Gerber. Mitchell is an investigative journalist who has dedicated 22 years to exposing the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong spiritual movement in China. Just to be clear, this is real. The forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong spiritual movement in China. Mitchell Gerber will be coming up as our guest. But before we get to that, my take on the news. So I'm sure depending on what media you're watching, you're getting a particular take on Dobbs v. Jackson. This is the case that emanated out of Mississippi, where the state had put a ban on all abortions after 15 weeks. They got sued over that because there was Supreme Court precedent that said that states can't ban it anytime within the first 24 weeks. That's 6 months. 6 months. Supreme Court precedent saying that states cannot limit abortion within the first 6 months. I don't know how many people have had children or have been paying attention to the development of embryos and fetuses and so on, but it's pretty astounding to think that before today's decision, unfettered right to discretion to abort an unborn child up until 24 weeks. You may want to Google a picture of a fetus at 6 weeks. 6 weeks. At 6 weeks, it has 10 fingers and 10 toes. It is fully developed. Google a picture of a fetus at 6 weeks. It's absolutely incredible. That being said, I'm not someone who thinks that we should have an absolute ban on abortion, and I'll be sharing that opinion with you throughout today's show. What I do want to just read for everyone is some of the text of the opinion so that you're not just getting commentators, you're getting actual text from the opinion. So what I'm reading from is the summary, and it's really the essence of why the court ruled the way it did, essentially saying that the United States Constitution does not guarantee a person, in this case a woman, because only women can get pregnant, the right to abort an unborn child. So here's reading from the summary from directly from the United States Supreme Court. The court examines whether the right to obtain an abortion is rooted in the nation's history and tradition, and whether it is an essential component of ordered liberty. The court finds that the right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. The underlying theory on which Casey rested, which was the second Supreme Court case finding in favor of abortion, was that the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause provides substantive as well as procedural protection for liberty, and that has long been controversial. The 14th Amendment says that nobody shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. Over the time, that obviously is pertaining to due process, meaning the justice system. However, courts have expanded that to mean that, no, there's actual substantive rights that that protects. This is what the court is addressing and basically saying that they're overturning that concept. Back to the court's ruling. The court's decisions have held that the Due Process Clause protects two categories of substantive rights. Those rights guaranteed by the first eight amendments to the Constitution, and those rights deemed fundamental that are not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. In deciding whether a right falls into either of these categories, the question is whether the right is deeply rooted in our history and tradition, and whether it is essential to this nation's scheme of ordered liberty. The term liberty alone provides little guidance. Thus, historical inquiries are essential whenever the court is asked to recognize a new component of the liberty interest protected by the Due Process Clause. So again, they're basically saying Due Process Clause is not just procedural. It actually protects substantive rights as long as those rights are found in the Bill of Rights. What's in the Bill of Rights cannot be deprived from you. And then prior court rulings have said that there can be other rights as long as they're deeply rooted in our nation's history. So what you'll see here is the court is determining, okay, so is the right to an abortion deeply rooted in America's history? Remember, America was founded by a strongly Christian contingency of people. I mean, the country was 99% Christian probably at the time. In interpreting what is meant by liberty, the court must guard against the natural human tendency to confuse what the 14th Amendment protects with this court's own ardent views about the liberty that Americans should enjoy. For this reason, the court has been reluctant to recognize rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution. Guided by the history and tradition that map the essential components of the nation's concept of ordered liberty, the court finds the 14th Amendment clearly does not protect the right to an abortion. Until the latter part of the 20th century, there was no support in American law for a constitutional right to obtain an abortion. No state constitutional provision had recognized such a right. Until a few years before Roe, no federal or state court had recognized such a right, nor had any scholarly treatise. Indeed, abortion had long been a crime in every single state. At common law, abortion was criminal in at least some stages of pregnancy and was regarded as unlawful and could have serious consequences at all stages. American law followed the common law until a wave of statutory restrictions in the 1800s panned criminal liability for abortions. By the time the 14th Amendment was adopted, 3/4 of the states had made abortion a crime at any stage of the pregnancy. This consensus endured until the day Roe was decided. Roe either ignored or misstated this history, and Casey declined to consider Roe's faulty historical analysis. So what you have is a court here that is strictly interpreting the United States Constitution. That's what we want out of our justices. The truth is, this is not a conservative ruling. This is basically saying that individuals don't have as many rights in the Constitution as we thought. The government can infringe on individual liberty. The government can restrict the individual choice for abortion. The left loves it when the government is free to restrict individual liberty. In that sense, the left should love this opinion. This was a principled opinion by conservative judges, conservative in the sense that they strictly read and interpret the Constitution. Yes, Roe v. Wade's been around for 50 years, but it wasn't around for the prior 150 years. That's what this court is saying. There is no basis for finding this particular right in the Constitution. You need to amend the Constitution. That's my take on the news, TNT Radio.
Going 360 on the headlines.
It's really well-balanced conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back, and we have our guest for this hour, Mitchell Gerber, investigative journalist, spent the last 22 years exposing a very important issue, the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong spiritual movement in China. Mitchell, welcome to the program.
Hi, James. Good to see you. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning close to the Chinese border, but I'm just honored to talk to you.
Wow. So tell me where you are.
Well, I don't want to give my exact location, but I am still close to the Chinese border in Southeast Asia, exposing this new form of evil, James. And, you know, the world has to know about this. The world has to wake up to this. And still, many people are in the dark about this because of the unprecedented deluge of propaganda coming out from Beijing under the CCP that has covered up this crime of killing and barbarism and brutal persecution against this spiritual movement, this honorable spiritual movement that relates to what is going on right now outside of China in our normalized societies like the United States with the infiltration of the Chinese Communist Party. And I'll let you know why. But yeah, I'm risking my life still close to the Chinese border. And I'm grateful to be on your show with you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I definitely want to do anything I can to help further expose this. I'll never forget the interview we did a couple of years ago about it. That's how I actually first came to know the Epoch Times, Epoch. I've been writing for them now. They are becoming much bigger in the past 2 years, really climbing up the ladder as far as conservative media outlets. I think they're probably number eight right now in size as far as viewership, and seem to be growing quickly. And I think most of our listeners are familiar by this point of Epoch Times. But am I correct that Epoch Times was founded by Falun Gong? Members or adherents?
Absolutely, yes. It was the Chinese Epoch Times version, Dachuan. The Epoch Times, as well as New Tang Dynasty Television, James. And I'm so grateful that I am reading your article. I saw that, and it's wonderful. I just pull up the Epoch Times now. I just saw that they had a whole section with you, June 8th, 2022, talking about the civil rights attorney experience. It's wonderful. And the host of the Hidden Truth Show podcast. Yeah, this monumental editorial series was created by Falun Gong practitioners strictly on the basis of exposing the brutal persecution and forced live organ harvesting genocide against these spiritual practitioners after the CCP basically just demonized Falun Gong, outlawed it, and banned it from the shores of China, started to send hundreds and thousands of these innocent spiritual Falun Gong practitioners, as well as Uyghur Muslims, House Christians, and Tibetans, and Catholics to state-mandated hospitals under the command of the Chinese Communist Party's military, the PLA, and the highest-ranking forms of the Chinese Communist Party Politburo members, as well as and especially the leader of the Chinese Communist Party in 1999, Jiang Zemin, cutting the organs out of their bodies, James, while alive, and selling their organs to the world and back to their own citizens, fueling a multi-billion-dollar business. So yes, the Falun Gong directly created the Epoch Times and other outlets to expose this to the world, and have been covering it ever since.
Mm-hmm. So let's start at the beginning, because not all of our listeners are going to be familiar with Falun Gong. Tell everyone, you know, about the founding of Falun Gong, who was behind it, and what are the main tenets of Falun Gong that people admire and follow?
Well, as a Jewish investigative journalist, I have been blown away by the decades of courage. I mean, these people should be honored with Nobel Peace Prizes for warning the world, basically, of the infiltration of the Chinese Communist Party and its devilish minions throughout the world. You know, from the World Health Organization to Justin Trudeau to Biden, to the United Nations, to Bill Gates, to Henry Kissinger, to Rothschilds. I mean, the infiltration of the Chinese Communist Party. And in a minute, I'll share with you with Falun Gong, but the Epoch Times released and published in 2004 the 9 commentaries on the Chinese Communist Party, and then revised that edition under the name "The Communist Spectre is Ruling Our World." And they have been warning about this infiltration, thanks to the Falun Gong for their decades of courage. And now this particular spiritual movement, it's not a cult, it's not a religion, it's been demonized as a terrorist CIA-backed cult by the CCP. I mean, as I said before, the deluge of propaganda against the spiritual practice is horrifying. And I've been on the case monitoring these people, investigating these people. I've practiced their exercises, I've read their literature. They're very, very peaceful. Spiritual practitioners. It teaches Falun Gong principles of truthfulness, compassion, tolerance, James. similar principles and universal principles accepted in Judaism, Catholicism, Christianity, Buddhism. And it emphasizes a character building and virtue a path of healing and spiritual elevation. And many people were initially drawn to Falun Gong, James, because of its healing effects. However, a significant reason for Falun Gong's popular appeal, including the yoga community, the health community, and the medical community, was its simple and straightforward requirements. Just live your life according to truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. Let go of negative attachments and be responsible to yourself. And incorporating the five exercises of the meditation, it became the life force of communist China, where one out of every 13 Chinese national citizens were practicing this slow-moving spiritual practice that incorporated these exercises. The exercises won all the awards, and the founder, Mr. Li Hongzhu, has been nominated for 5 Nobel Peace Prizes. But unfortunately, the deluge of propaganda and brutality against the spiritual practice has unfortunately overshadowed the legacy and created in people's minds that this is some kind of evil cult, which is absolutely ridiculous. But thanks to you, thanks to myself, thanks to my colleagues and the world's people, people are starting to wake up about this. That's absolutely not, and it should be honored as a spiritual movement.
Yeah. Let me ask you what's kind of an ignorant question. I know you're saying the Falun Gong is not a cult, it's not a religion, but please remind our listeners and frankly me, in China, is all religion barred? Is it all illegal?
Absolutely. House Christians, Tibetan Buddhism, Taoism, Catholicism, the Uyghur Muslims and Xinjiang, all brutally persecuted and outlawed. And people think, well, but I see churches in China, I see Catholicism, Muslims. It's nonsense. It's all state-sanctioned. It's when the communist regime took over in the 1960s and the Great Cultural Revolution with Mao Zedong, they wiped out all traditional values. They decimated 5,000 years of Chinese culture, James. So things today are not the original Christianity, the original Catholicism or Buddhism. It's all state sanctioned and watered down in terms of a CCP type of religion, all under the state. But the original Buddhism.
So help me understand that. Help me understand that. So you're saying that if you're in China, you may see a Catholic church, but it's somehow operating within the auspices of the government?
Yeah, it's not somewhat, it's completely. So the CCP has decimated all religion, all traditional values. They intentionally destroyed the connection to God, the connection to the Creator, the connection to the divinity in the Chinese person. So this was ethnocide, not only genocide, but the complete eradication to the spiritual essence of the Chinese person. So yes, when you go to China, you are not seeing the actual Christianity, Catholicism, or Buddhism. You're seeing CCP state-sanctioned religion disguised as Christianity, disguised as the CCP specter.
So I was raised Catholic, so I'm going to speak from that perspective. I know what a Catholic mass is like, and I know what the ritual is, et cetera, and what the priest does and says, et cetera. So if you know, how would it be different if I went to a mass at a Catholic church in China?
The CCP is controlling everything. So the original Christianity, for example, House Christians, they have been forced underground. They've also been killed for their organs, just like the Falun Gong. Yet with Falun Gong, because it became the largest spiritual movement, they couldn't control it. The number of people practicing Falun Gong outnumbered the number of people in the Chinese Communist Party by 30 million people. As well as with Christianity, millions of people started to practice. If they cannot control it, they will demonize it and then they will crush it. So the Catholicism that we're used to is different to China because, like I said, it is communist confused. It's very hard to understand. But when you're living in a communist country, as I am right now, you can see it clearly when you start to divulge deeply into the investigation. The pure Christianity and the pure Catholicism that is practiced in the West or in Europe or in America, It's different in terms of the books. They've wiped out all traditional values. That's what I'm trying to say. It's very hard to understand it, but I hope you can catch my drift the best way I can share.
I mean, are you permitted to pray to God in these churches that are run by the CCP, you're basically saying?
No, not the actual God. You are praying to the CCP. The actual house Christians have been brutally persecuted. Bibles have been disallowed. You're not allowed to bring in Bibles. Everything has been CCP infused. Everything has been decimated and rebuilt under the auspices of the CCP.
So you really, if you're talking about a Catholic church in China, you can't really call it a Catholic church. It's not as if it reports into the Vatican in Rome and into the Pope.
Exactly. However, the Vatican is complicit in organ tourism with the CCP. That is another situation that we need to be clear on. The CCP is colluding with the Vatican, as they're colluding with the World Health Organization, the United Nations. But pure Christianity, pure Catholicism, no. It is communistic infused, just like Buddhism as well. That's why Falun Gong was demonized and persecuted so badly, because it became the largest spiritual movement that they couldn't control. They've controlled Christianity, Catholicism, Buddhism, Taoism, even Tai Chi to that level. But with Falun Gong, they couldn't control it, because between 70 and 100 million people, James, practicing Falun Gong, outnumbering the number of Chinese Communist Party membership by 30 million people, tens of millions of people, it became the largest spiritual movement in China. They couldn't control it, so they tried to crush it. They destroyed all the books, all the videos, everything. And it is forbidden to practice Falun Gong in China to this day.
All right, we got to take the first of our two breaks. We're talking to Mitchell Gerber about Falun Gong organ harvesting in China. We'll be back after the break. TNT Radio.
Shannon Joy on TNT Radio.
This is why they fear her so much. Brooke Jackson, I know it was a long introduction, but I just wanted to lay the groundwork because I am so impressed by you and everything you do. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about the FDA. You mentioned that you were listening to this circus sideshow. It's really just a matter of crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and going through the motions, right? They want this shot into the arms of the babies. I will give you some good news, though. In New York State, recently, as recent as 4 to 6 weeks ago, they're saying this in the polling, how few parents have actually gone out and had their kids vaccinated. They make us think that everyone's doing it, but I think the reality is that more and more parents are very quietly refusing.
It does make me feel better, yes. I actually just read a poll recently that 73% of Americans have reservations about these shots.
Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Freedom Fest is one of the most important places to go every single year if you're in any way, shape, or form connected to the Liberty Movement. Because if you're not here, people think something's wrong. You're supposed to be here.
Don't miss Freedom Fest, the largest Liberty event of the year. July 13th to 16th at the Mirage in Las Vegas. For more information, go to freedomfest.com.
Today's News Talk Radio. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
And welcome back, everybody, to the James Breslow Program. We are speaking with Mitchell Gerber, investigative journalist, spent his past 22 years trying to expose the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong spiritual movement in China, currently in an undisclosed location in the East. Mitchell, give us just a capsule of Falun Gong. If you're talking to a friend and who was interested in possibly becoming part of the Falun Gong movement, what would you tell them about Falun Gong? What do people like about it?
Well, I love the exercises. I think that they are incredibly good for health. They reduce the stress, the anxiety level. They are profound for spiritual vitality. And whether you're Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, or atheist, it is an incredible addition to your workouts, to your way of life. It's just amazing. I mean, the suicide in China, James, when it was introduced, the suicide rates were just decreasing. People were living longer, feeling better. Illnesses, ailments, and injuries were just vanishing in terms of being healed. It was labeled as a crime-stopping force in the Chinese community, but then it was demonized heavily. But what I would say is, yeah, it's free of charge. It's not a cult. It's nothing religious. It's an incredibly beautiful, honorable, and profoundly healthy practice for all walks of life. And if anyone would like to learn about this practice, it's free of charge. It can be taught. It's taught all over the world, and it can be taught at or it can be practiced or learned at www.learnfalungong.com. The exercises are really beautiful and peaceful, and it really emphasizes a virtue and character building mentality or mindset, very similar to what Tony Robbins or Eckhart Tolle has taught, also like, you know, the masters in China under Bruce Lee, that just be kind, just be truthful, just be tolerant. And I think it's very effective in that way.
Mm-hmm. And it was spreading quickly, as you point out, and things seemed to be going fine, and many people in China benefiting from this and enjoying this and feeling better, and it continued to spread. And then what was the tipping point, do you believe, that caused the Communist Party to suddenly decide something needs to be done with this group?
One man, the evil head of the Chinese Communist Party in 1999, Jiang Zemin. This is the military dictator, the president of China back then, James. And he wanted to destroy them, defame their reputations, bankrupt them financially, and destroy them physically. Because the number of people practicing Falun Gong, like I said, outnumbered the number of people in the Chinese Communist Party. And after a standoff with the party's Politburo, the majority of which were opposed to the crackdown on Falun Gong, this evil head, Jiang Zemin, labeled the practice a threat to the party and said it would be an international loss of face if Falun Gong were not immediately crushed. He was jealous, he was hateful, but he couldn't control the minds and the spirits of the Chinese people and because of Falun Gong's popularity, and he ordered the practice to be eradicated within 3 months using any means necessary. And I have a clip for you, James. I don't want to run out of time, but I have a clip for you to prove that forced organ harvesting is going on.
Talk a rather upsetting issue, allegations that have repeatedly been aired that China plays a part in harvesting organs, mainly of executed prisoners. The numbers run to thousands every year. Organs then get sold on for transplants. It's always been vehemently denied by the Chinese government. But here in Britain, representatives of a campaign called Forced Organ Harvesting have been looking at the issue, and they've gone as far as presenting their latest findings to the British Parliament. Two representatives join us here in the studio. Welcome to David Kilgore, former member of the Canadian Parliament, and Ethan Gutman, author of several books on China, who've both been involved in the investigations, are here to tell us a little bit more. David Kilgore, if I could start with you, what are the latest findings of your investigation? What are you closing in on?
That about... about 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners have been killed and their organs trafficked. There are other people too, convicted prisoners are killed, of course, but the thing that we're focusing on is the Falun Gong community. My colleague Ethan Gutman has done a lot of work on the Uyghur community. He'll probably want to say something about that, but yeah, there's no doubt. We have 52 kinds of evidence that this is happening. To give you the easiest example, the wife of a surgeon told us that her husband had removed the corneas from 2,000 Falun Gong practitioners in a two-year period. So, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind. We've got two books on it. We've got all kinds of...
And these, just to clarify, these come after judicial executions?
No, there is no judicial involvement in virtually all of the Falun Gong. That's the thing that nobody understands.
Okay, right. So we better clarify this, because we often cover the fact that China, of course, has one of the highest rates of execution, judicial execution. It's their choice. That's what they do. And they're always there in the top three, along with Saudi Arabia and Iran. But this is something different.
Exactly. It's because a police signature is all you need to get sent to a forced labor camp. And then basically what happens is somebody from, it could be London, it could be Canada, goes over there for a liver. And there's a computer bank, and it says there's a match for you out in camp number 50. And somebody's dragged out of the camp number 50 into an operating room. Their liver's taken out of them. It's flown to Shanghai, where you're probably waiting for your liver. And you come back to London with a new liver, and somebody has been killed like a lobster in a grotesque restaurant.
Hang on a minute. So you're not even saying, because, I mean, it's one issue, the judicial executions and the use of the cadaver, which I suppose in a certain legal sense is the property of the state once the state has killed the individual. But you're saying these are people being killed to order?
Precisely. And it's so, as you say, your horror shows how distressing it is. But yet it never gets mentioned that these are people who've been maybe giving out pamphlets asking them to stop killing Falun Gong, and they're guilty of nothing.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. What was the investigation that he had done, and how was he able to discover those things?
Absolutely, James. That was the late, great David Kilgore, and I brought him with a coalition, Dr. Enver Totti, who was a surgeon, a young and up-and-coming surgeon in China, who did forced organ harvesting, and then he fled to London. I had him, and David Kilgore, the late secretary, former Secretary of State to the Asian Affairs of the Canadian Parliament and Crown Prosecutor, who you just listened to on the BBC, with Ethan Gutman, also an American investigative journalist, with David Mattis as well. They discovered, David Mattis and David Kilgore, in 2006, that between 2001 and 2006, between 45,000 and 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners, innocent Falun Gong practitioners, because their organs were so healthy after practicing these exercises and living the mindset of truthfulness and compassion and tolerance, which made the body so powerful, because the body follows the mind, that the organs were taken out of their bodies by the Chinese Communist Party and under the behest of the Chinese Communist military, and sold to buyers around the world. And then they updated their investigation in 2016 to 2020, between 80 to 100,000 Falun Gong practitioners a year, conservative estimates, have been harvested alive for their organs. And I was I walked into the British Parliament in 2018. Right after that, there was an independent tribunal into forced organ harvesting called the China Tribunal, where the China Tribunal, under Jeffrey Nice QC, the former prosecuting attorney for Slobodan Milosevic, the Yugoslavian dictator, concluded, after all available evidence, James, that this is going on, that there is large-scale harvesting from prisoners, irrefutable evidence of Falun Gong practitioners and Uyghur Muslims. However, 95% of the organs are coming from Falun Gong practitioners. And I have one more clip as well. I actually got four, but since we haven't got time, there's another clip from the former VP of the European Parliament, Sir Edward McMillan Scott, testifying with David Kilgore in the European Parliament. If you'd like me to play that, that is mind-blowing as well, eye-opening for the audience as well.
Edward McMillan Scott.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter. I wrote a report on EU-China relations in 1996-7 for the Foreign Affairs Committee, and returned to Beijing in 2006, where I met ex-prisoners of conscience, Falun Gong practitioners, as well as made contact with a number of other dissidents and reformers. All the Chinese with whom I had contact were then imprisoned, and in some cases, like Gao Zhisheng, tortured. Gao Zhisheng is a Christian human rights lawyer, very, very well known in China, who investigated the persecution of Falun Gong and wrote reports about it. And one of the people I met, Cao Dong, who had been in prison, told me the story about how his best friend had disappeared one evening from the cell in their prison. And the next time he saw him, it was his body in the prison hospital with holes where body parts had been extracted. The belief that I have, and I share with David Kilgore, that organ harvesting is widespread in China, and it is restricted almost exclusively to Falun Gong practitioners. The only prisoners in China who are routinely blood tested and blood pressure tested are Falun Gong practitioners. The organ transplant industry is in the hands of the military. The People's Liberation Army is responsible for the hospitals, the transportation of body parts, and the sale of them. It is therefore a governmental activity and constitutes genocide under Article 2 of the Genocide Convention. It is as serious as that. And my final word is, with respect to you, Peter, the Falun Gong are to the Chinese regime of today what the Jews were to the Nazis during the war. And we should all take note of this and look at China with new eyes. The European Parliament comes from a very diverse background, and as Peter has already said, even within this quite straightforward resolution, there are still problems, because the absolute deluge of propaganda from the regime in Beijing vilifying Falun Gong as some sort of extremist cult. Now, I've met, as I said, hundreds of members of Falun Gong. It is not a sect, it is not a cult, there is no money involved, there is no brainwashing. All the normal characteristics of a cult simply don't exist. These are people who practice their spiritual exercises on their own, and yet, as I said, because between 70 and 100 million people in 1999 were practicing Falun Gong, this was seen by Jiang Zemin, then the leader of the Communist Party, as a threat to his own position. It wasn't, of course, but he saw the opportunity of creating an enemy within. Just as during the war, the Nazis singled out the Jews as a special characteristic and did what they did to the Jews. The same is happening today to Falun Gong in China. That is why it is genocide. That's why I say it's so serious. As to whether we can convey this to all the members of the European Parliament, it's quite difficult. It is quite difficult, but we're trying. And that's what this press conference is about. There'll be other activities today and beyond. I will maintain my campaign, especially until the people I had contact with are released from prison.
Tell me, have any world organizations or governments issued any decrees about this?
Very interesting that you said that. The UK just passed a law, James, warning companies that they risk legal action if they allow themselves to become linked to organ trafficking, forced organ harvesting, and murder. Also, Israel created the transplantation law in 2008, the Knesset and the Sanhedrin, the ancient rabbinic council, banning any Israeli citizens of going to China to get an organ tour, a transplant. They call it organ tourism, which has skyrocketed in Canada and the United States. Taiwan, who has been such a courageous country and is on the brink of war with the CCP being invaded by it, as well as Hong Kong and Spain, they've also passed laws to stop organ tourism because they know what is going on with the Falun Gong in China. And that is also another reason, as sadistic as it sounds, why wouldn't you want to practice Falun Gong when these organs are being sold as the healthiest organs in the world? You're not going to be in any jeopardy, of course, because you're not living in China. But that just goes to show how profoundly powerful and healthy the spiritual movement is for the body, for the mind, for the spirit. For the spirit. But those are only the four countries. It's four or five countries. And now we're trying to get Scotland and Italy. But unfortunately, how many countries are there in the world, James? How many people have actually said something about this? That's why I'm honored to be on your show. I'm grateful to see you and talk to you. It's been such a long time since we've talked. And I'm grateful that you're part of the Epoch Times. They need people like you because you are so straightforward and just, cut through all the BS, and that's why I appreciate about you and TNT Radio as well. Not many people know about this. Again, it's been heavily concealed because the multi-billion-dollar business that has come out of the organ harvesting of the Falun Gong is so rampant and is so unprecedented that, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. They've colluded with the World Health Organization, the United Nations, like I said, with the Vatican, Planned Parenthood. It's shocking what is going on. But because of people like yourself and others, we're doing something about it and we're trying to expose it.
How many Americans do you believe annually are going to China for organ transplants?
That's very interesting to say that. We don't have the exact number because it is so widespread, but we do have telephone conversations at least since 2017-18. We've had about 20 investigative reports. I'm very conservative in my estimates because we have to be careful not to exaggerate this issue. Especially when I've got around the colleagues of and investigators. But we've actually had investigative journalists disguised as buyers calling the hospitals and the military hospitals. And we have the doctors, the presidents, the directors all on tape. But there's a profound number, because this is a state-sanctioned, on-demand genocide, reducing waiting times, James, from 4 to 8 years for kidneys, livers, hearts, pancreases, to a matter of days. So a profound amount of people. And they're not, remember, the US and Canada have not banned organ tourism from China. The House of Representatives have passed laws, passed resolutions, but not laws condemning this. So this needs to be done immediately.
Mm. I presume you would say it's Chinese interests in Washington, D.C., that are keeping such a bill from passing, a U.S. law banning Americans from traveling to China for organs.
Oh, absolutely. It's disgusting. I mean, the amount of infiltration into America, I mean, the Chinese Communist Party agents borrowed deeply into the U.S. military, the U.S. scientific community, the economic areas. I mean, for example, I bought this just to share with you, and I would love to play another clip, because I don't know how much time we have left, but one of the spies were born into actually graduated from the U.S. Military Academy in West Point and now works within the U.S. Department of Defense in the area of computer encryption. You have congressmen. We have the names, James. When I was on Steve Bannon, Stu Peters, Alex Jones, I was on, specifically Steve Bannon with Dr. N. Bertotti. He pressed me for the names. I said, no, because that's very risky business and I don't want to be murdered. Okay, for right now, I've got a family. I'm close to the Chinese border, but we have the names of all the Western traitors, all the Western officials, government officials who have been colluding with the Chinese Communist Party, including Sleepy Joe, let's go Brandon, and his son Hunter, as well as Trudeau, Henry Kissinger, many CCP operatives and loyalists inside the U.S. military. I mean, for God's sake, you have the Joint Chief of Staff, General Milley, colluding with the CCP general behind a sitting president's back. I mean, it's shocking. But only Trump put the death knell in the Chinese Communist Party, and that's why they were also infiltrating the United States to remove him. That's a whole other story in itself. But yeah, we have
all right. We got to take a break. Let's dig into some of those details after our last break. You're listening to the James Breslow Show on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The upcoming Republican primary for Colorado's 3rd Congressional District will be held on the 28th of June. Incumbent Representative Lauren Boebert faces GOP challenger Don Corum, a current Colorado senator who has made it his mission to unseat Boebert. Legacy establishment media have been very critical of Boebert. She has been described, among other things, as a far-right controversialist and conspiracy theorist. Boebert has certainly made some controversial statements, but she has a record of passionate freedom fighting in many areas, including her opposition to extreme government COVID mandates. She was one of the few Republican members of Congress to oppose the $40 billion package to assist Ukraine. And unlike her opponent Corum, she disputes the result of the 2020 presidential election. The primary election result on Tuesday will be interesting. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
In many countries around the world, medical care is scarce. Countless millions have no access to safe surgery. Mercy Ships is there to help. Mercy Ships provides free surgeries for the thousands of those who are waiting for surgery at each port.
Mercy Ships is bringing services to countries that would otherwise never be able to access those services.
Find out how you can help by visiting our website at mercyships.org. That's mercyships.org.
When you listen to us, you're always guaranteed straightforward, easy-to-understand, coherent conversation.
So I've made it a priority my entire career to work closely with you from the time I got to the Senate 180 years ago.
And we stand by those words.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Oh, man. Just stop talking.
TNT.
And we are back with the James Breslow program. Mitchell Gerber is with us talking about Falun Gong in China and forced organ harvesting. We got about 10 minutes left to go. A couple quick questions, and then maybe we've got time for your the last clip. Tell us what the current state of Falun Gong is in China today. Has it been entirely crushed, or are there people still able to practice it there?
You know, James, the bottom line is that the decades of courage, the resilience, the determination of Falun Gong practitioners in China, who, yes, have been brutally persecuted, it is completely forbidden. This is a spiritual movement that has just stood the test of time against the red reign of terror that's wiped out, you know, more life than two world wars combined, decimated 5,000 years of Chinese culture. And why this relates to the American citizen and the global citizen as well is because of the utter infiltration of the CCP. Falun Gong has made it its duty peacefully, nonviolent, and sincerely to sacrifice their decency, their dignity, and their livelihood to expose this evil to the world. So we should take note of this. And the courage of Falun Gong, this is completely banned in China. They've been sent to state-mandated hospitals, over 252 concentration camps, irrefutable evidence. And the last clip, the second to last clip I have will actually prove more of this. They have been just used as raw material. So the state of their being in China is still heavily persecuted. I work with certain refugees as well that have come out of China, have fled to Thailand, have fled to Cambodia, have fled to Vietnam because their testimony is shocking, how they've been forcefully blood tested, how they've seen their family members killed, their marriage licenses taken away, their businesses frozen, their bank accounts frozen. It's absolutely shocking. So this is a testament to courage, will, and conviction, and also a story that exposes this evil that is infiltrated into our backyards, because I'm an American citizen. And based on, after learning about Falun Gong, I never realized the extent of infiltration of the CCP into our government agencies, into our media. It's just shocking. So I'm grateful to the Falun Gong as an American citizen, as a Judeo-Christian investigator, to learn about the extent of this evil infiltrating into our government and actually causing absolute treason amongst the ranks of American officials colluding with the CCP.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you probably consider yourself to be in danger for exposing this. Tell us, because I don't want to give away anything that would put you in danger, but what is it precisely that you're working on right now? What are you trying to do other than bringing attention to it? Are you trying to help people in China to get out, et cetera?
You know, I don't want to get into the details, but yes, to fail to support what is good and to fail to expose what is evil is unacceptable, James. And I've been on the front lines. I received my death threats in Atlanta, Georgia, where I became the first person in my family to become an American citizen. I received a death threat then. I was involved in an assassination attempt in South Africa. I have to sit down with the FBI. I sat down with the CIA when I was giving my briefing at the British Parliament in London. But here on the border of Vietnam, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, China, yes, we've been rescuing children. We have been monitoring the activities of the Chinese Communist Party, especially with this the CCP virus that has been unleashed from China. It's very risky business. But yes, like I said, I have been exposing everything I can to get the word out, to defend and safeguard the dignity of Falun Gong and to expose this red reign of terror. It's just been a duty of mine, James. But yes, I've been doing something like that to what you've been saying. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as we speak today, how many members would you say are in Chinese prisons?
Millions. Millions and millions of people. We have to remember that there's over 252 concentration camps. You've seen with the Uyghurs, up to 1 million Uyghurs in concentration camps. Well, times that by 10 with Falun Gong practitioners, tens of millions. And now you're seeing millions of innocent Chinese people in quarantine camps. Well, these are concentration camps. These are slave camps. There's something called the Laogao system, which is 252 concentration camps, over 2,000 to 3,000 state hospitals, just cutting out the organs of Falun Gong practitioners. So yes, millions of Falun Gong practitioners forced labor, you know, because when the consumer market was built, it was built off the institutionalized slavery system of mainland China. So millions of Falun Gong practitioners, millions of Catholics, Christians, Tibetans, as well as Uyghur Muslims, have been used by the CCP to create forced labor, and their organs have been cut out. But 95% of Falun Gong practitioners have been cut out. Their organs have been cut out of their bodies. But millions have been in these death camps and in these re-education centers, James, for the last 25 years at least. Remember, the CCP has killed over 100 million people. They've wiped out over 400 million babies under their one-child policy. So millions in their death camps are nothing to them, nothing. I mean, millions are already there, under this zero COVID policy. So yeah, millions are falling on petitions. And I just wanted to say, James, for the naysayers out there, for the skeptics, I've got one more clip from the United Nations. This is from the China's transplant crimes exposed at the United Nations Council in September 2019 by the China Tribunal spokesman. If you would like to play that, just to share with the skeptics.
Mr. Vice President, the Durban Declaration affirms the urgent need to prevent, combat, and eliminate all forms of trafficking in persons, including organ trafficking. China Tribunal, a people's tribunal chaired by Sir Geoffrey Nice, considered all available evidence and concluded that forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience, including the religious and ethnic minorities of Falun Gong and Uyghurs, had been committed for years throughout China on a significant scale, and that it continues today. This involves hundreds of thousands of victims. Acting on independent legal advice, the tribunal concluded that commission of crimes against humanity, against Falun Gong and Uyghurs, had been proved beyond reasonable doubt. Victim for victim, and death for death, cutting out the hearts and other organs from living, blameless, harmless, peaceable people, constitutes one of the worst mass atrocities of this century. Organ transplantation to save life is a scientific and social triumph, but killing the donor is criminal. Government and international bodies must do their duty not only in regard to the possible charge of genocide, but also in regard to crimes against humanity, which the tribunal does not consider to be less heinous. It is the legal obligation of UN member states and the duty of this council to address this criminal conduct. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
And has the UN done anything?
Nothing, because the Chinese Communist Party owns four specialized units. And Peter Navarro, the great Peter Navarro, who I was very privileged to talk to on Steve Bannon, shared about this as well. He was the assistant to President Trump, one of the assistants. And yeah, the United Nations, James, the World Health Organization, the Chinese Communist Party was just elected by the member states of the World Health Organization as the executive director of the World Health Organization. It's shocking. They've been colluding. You've seen all the reports, I'm sure, as an investigative journalist yourself, of Biden, Trudeau, all colluding with the Chinese Communist Party, the Vatican. I mean, you also have a database of over 2 million spies, 1.94 to be exact, infiltrating into the multinational corporations, the criminals, journalists, media. You have USA Today, you have Time Magazine, the Seattle Times. Look at the numbers. I mean, these are the funds that have been received by the American outlets to keep quiet, to spew and push the propaganda. The Houston Chronicle, given $66,000. The Globe and Mail, over $329,000. The Los Angeles Times, over $361,000. From the Chinese Communist Party. You have ESPN, James, which is 80% owned by ABC, directed all staff members not to criticize the Chinese government in the wake of the 2019 Hong Kong pro-democracy protests. You have Carlos Slim, who is the largest shareholder of the New York Times. He has close ties with several Chinese companies who in turn have ties with the Chinese regime. And I have one thing as well, just to mention, the Bidens to receive some $31 million from a Chinese businessman linked to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence. It's all here, black and white, the collusion, and these people are criminals, James, and they need to be prosecuted for treason.
I mean, we're up against such powerful interests, the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, what do you see? What's the light at the end of the tunnel for you? We just got a, you know, just 30 seconds left. What do we need to see happen? I mean, how do we correct this situation considering what we're up against? 30 seconds.
It's extremely hard. But what I do know is that if people would like to go to falluninfo.net, because discernment is so important. We can't go to war with China. There will be a nuclear holocaust. But falluninfo.net, James, and for the skeptics out there, endtransplantabuse.org. Endtransplantabuse.org. Obviously, follow the Epoch Times. With more people aware, with more people discerning, it will be amazing for people to understand about this. But that's what I think is more important, that more people come to the party, you know, and more countries sign on, exposing this and supporting Falun Gong. I think we'll get somewhere. But again, it's very hard, but we're trying, James. And God bless you for allowing me to share with you.
All right, Mitchell, we got to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Mitchell Gerber. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back after the break with more of the James Breslow Show on TNT Radio.